Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside ECAC Hockey. Inside ECAC Hockey, presented by the Corsia Family Foundation in conjunction with the Mike Capasso Scholarship Fund. And very pleased to have with us from the Big Red of Cornell, our men's profile this week on Inside ECAC Hockey. He is a senior left winger from Duncan, British Columbia, Ben Berard. Ben, welcome, and pleasure to have you here.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, Ben, the Big Red have picked up the pace here, got themselves into the picture for the NCAA tournament very solidly. Overall, 10-5-1, and even more impressively, 8-1-1, your last 10. You being a veteran member of this team, what are some of the elements of the turnaround that you can point out that have been rather important to get yourself to the point now where you seem to be hitting your stride headed toward the second half?
Yeah, I think it just took us a little bit to get going. My last few years here, we've had pretty hot starts. It's kind of been the opposite, where we've came out really hot and kind of had a lull in the middle. I think we kind of started locking it down a little bit more, giving up less goals. I think we've been pretty good at that. And then also last kind of month here, I think we've kind of been able to put the puck in the net a lot more than we could at the start. We're kind of finding our team there, a lot of guys scoring, and yeah, I mean, the last put up quite a few goals. So that's part of it.
Absolutely. With you look on the offensive side, and how things have stepped up, and with the Big Red, you personally pretty good numbers here. You've averaged almost a point a game. You got 15 points. You've dished out 12 helpers as it currently stands. Coming off of the last action last weekend, you stayed hot in the Capital District with a couple of big victories against Union. You started the weekend against Union. You picked up a goal and assist there, and a goal and two against RPI to finish up the weekend in impressive fashion. As far as you and you playing on the left side currently, you've got some success, it seems, and some pretty good element of chemistry with you and your line mates. You've got Gabriel Seager in the middle and Nick DeSantis on the right side. Give us a little bit of perspective about how you guys have complemented each other so well to give the Big Red and Mike Schaefer the offense.
Yeah, it hasn't been too long. I guess two weekends we got put together, and yeah, it's worked well. Seager's a great to play with. He's huge and protects the puck so well, making plays, and Nicky's flying around and he's pretty creative with it. So yeah, it's been fun. I think we just kind of blend well, and yeah.
And I always ask guys if they're North American players. You often see this in college hockey, line mates, the defensive pairings. You got a guy that's a European presence. Communication, you're speaking that international language of hockey with Seager. And I usually ask because the guys usually mention that they pick up more of the curse words in another language than anything else. You guys got some Europeans on the team. You got Czech, you got Sweden, you got some other countries represented there. That must make for an interesting blend around the locker room.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't heard Seager talk much Swedish. Hear a little bit of Russian.
And you got some Russian there too.
Yeah. Yeah, so actually haven't overheard him speaking Swedish yet, so I haven't got to experience that.
And take us through as far as offensively, huge weekend for you. Once again, 5 points. To how things seem to be flowing for you personally right now. And, you know, guys, they go through the hot streaks, and when things are going well, you want to bottle it. When things aren't going well, you just kind of looking to the sky and trying to figure out how to turn it around. But just from your own personal perspective right now, Ben, it seems that things seem to be flowing together for you. It seems to be everything on your stick seems to be turning to gold.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sometimes you get the bounces, sometimes you don't, I think. And yeah, I mean, it's nice when you do get them, and it can be frustrating when you're not. But I think just trying to, like, I don't think much different with one weekend to the next. Just, yeah, kind of luck goes your way once in a while, and it's nice when it does. But
no, absolutely. And you had a productive year despite missing some time last year. Productive year where you stepped it up and really back to your freshman year and Of course, you've been in that unusual situation for guys in the ECAC to have gone through the COVID. I'm still asking guys that are in college hockey in the aftermath of it. I hate to bring it up, just can't bring back a bad memory, but for you personally, how did you survive the whole COVID as far as the academics and your hockey career being on hold to the challenge was really to stay active and I'm sure, and to be able to kind of keep your head in the game, even though you didn't have a season to play.
Yeah, it was definitely weird. And, you know, there's times when it got pretty boring just going to practice over and over again with no games to break it up. But yeah, a big group of us stayed for the entire year over the summer as well. And we just got so close together and spent so much time around the house hanging out that we kind of got through it together and had a pretty good time doing it. But yeah, I mean, obviously a regular year would have been better, but a good group of guys here made it all right.
From British Columbia, Duncan, near Victoria, island town, and played at Powell River in the BCHL. Was college prominently on the radar screen for you as far as your career plan going back a number of years, or did it come a little bit later?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why exactly, but I kind of always wanted to go the college way. A lot of people from back there end up playing in major junior in Canada. For whatever reason, I just kind of always wanted to come play college and never really strayed off that path.
The decision to come to Cornell, how did that come about to have a chance to play for a storied program and Coach Mike Schaefer, one of the iconic coaches of college hockey?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of the history of always being a good team and obviously a good school too. It's just kind of the best combination of both that I had. So I was really excited to come here. I think it was kind of the top of my list the whole time through the recruiting process, and had a few teammates in Powell River that came down here too. So that obviously didn't hurt. They were on me pretty good, and you know, I'm happy they were because it turned out well.
Talk about we just referenced about COVID provided a good deal of adversity to everybody, whatever business you're in or whatever your family situation. But you're no stranger to adversity. You had a rather serious injury, a vertebrae injury, going back to juniors, where you broke your back. My goodness, 4 months that you were shelved, and I believe you spent half that time, a couple of months that you were actually in bed. I mean, my God, that was going to be a tough one to come through.
That was a scary couple days, I guess, and then realized that I was pretty fortunate.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was more just kind of scared and in pain for the first day or so and not knowing what the deal was. But I realized I was pretty lucky and didn't need any surgery or anything, and was just a broken bone and needed to come back from that. As much as it sounds a lot worse being in your spot, it really wasn't a ton different than just breaking a bone. So I was lucky there. And missed most of my last season of junior, I guess. Kind of came back right at the end for a few weeks. But just pretty lucky to be back as soon as I was from that.
All right, absolutely. And I'm sure even greater as if you could have more of a passion or enthusiasm about the game. I'm sure that led to an even greater appreciation about just the game itself and the fact that you're blessed to be able to play it.
Yeah, exactly. No, just happy to be at the rink. Yeah, it's good to still be playing, I guess. But
No doubt. No doubt. And back there in your hometown, back in Duncan, your family business, they actually have a coffee shop there, and you've I believe worked there, and I believe you're a fully licensed barista there. You can you can handle the coffee, from what I understand, Ben.
That's my summer job when I head back home. Spend time making coffees. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, popular spot there, I'm sure, for the family. Yep.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice spot to spend some time. Yeah.
And you also, with the NHL level, you share the hometown, prominent member of your hometown that's played at the NHL for a long time, Jamie Benn.
Yeah, he's Victoria, so I'm not right in the same spot, but yeah, he's kind of the top island guy. Him and Tyson Barrie are the big two from back home.
And anybody in the NHL that you keep a particular close eye on as far as your game and development of your game at this level?
Well, for a while it was Jamie Benn, and then
Okay.
I guess I stopped growing and don't really have the I don't know. I'd have a bit of a tougher time playing his style, I think.
Yeah, that's a unique game when you could when you're that big, you know, that's true. Yeah. A little bit different for you. And
Yeah.
yeah. And next up for the Big Red, you'll step out of the conference. First ever visit to Gannett Arena at Cornell, great rivalry with BU and Cornell ECAC. They played multiple times, played for national championships and all Eastern finals going back to 1972, 1967, et cetera. Do you know, have you been schooled and become familiar, I guess, with that great Cornell tradition of national championships and Ken Dryden? Is that something that you've now being a senior that you've been kind of acclimated to and learned about? Or is it all still a little bit of a mystery as to why a BU Cornell game is big? You've played in the red hot hockey at Madison Square Garden in front of some big crowds.
Yeah, definitely. The red hot hockey is what comes to a lot of guys' minds, just because
Yeah.
that's the recent one, I guess. But then we all kind of learned that, like, why there's the red hot hockey, and because of that rivalry years ago, and kind of keeping that going. So yeah, no, I mean, they're top team this year, so I think we're all pretty excited to have the one game trip down there. And yeah, no, it should be a good one.
Indeed, I'm so old, Ben. Truth be told, here I saw Ken Dryden play against BU. How about that? I was 7 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't believe it because I'm not on screen, but I still look about 30. It's pretty amazing at my age, you know.
I'm sure you
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that endorsement. I appreciate it. Well, we'll look forward. If I have an opportunity, you guys will probably be out stretching and playing soccer. So if I have an opportunity, if I'm walking by to find Coach Schaefer, maybe have a chance to say hello to you on Saturday down in Boston. Should be a great tilt there. We'll have a little red hot hockey in Boston at a Gannett Arena this weekend, Ben. And best to you and the Big Red of Cornell here is you head to Boston and then you head toward the stretch run in the ECAC. Should be a great second half.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Ben Berard, our guest, senior left winger out of Duncan, British Columbia, our inside ECAC hockey men's profile this week. And we welcome in on the women's side our profile this week. We have Danielle Sudakny from the Colgate Raiders. She is a senior center from Edmonton, Alberta, and on a roll for another outstanding season after a breakout year last year, of which she attained many accolades playing for a Colgate program, which has been one of the elite in college hockey here in recent years. Danielle, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, with the sometimes we talk and it's been a couple of days, but you're actually fresh off another win non-conference last night, traveling down, taking a rather, well, a little bit of a shorter trip than you do around the ECAC to Syracuse to get a non-conference 5-2 victory, of which you factored prominently with three assists.
Yeah, it was good to head out down there to Syracuse and get the win. I think that was our last conference game, non-conference game of the season, so it was good to get the win.
Overall, the body of work has been impressive at 18-2-1, 8-1 in the ECAC, and within striking distance of that top seed with Yale and Quinnipiac. You have a couple of games in hand on Quinnipiac, game in hand on Yale. As somebody that's been around the ECAC now in your fourth season as part of the circuit, have you ever seen anything quite like this? We're kind of one of our themes this season is just how competitive and how much quantity and quality there is in terms of the overall caliber of play in the ECAC. It's just amazing to look. And once again, this week, five teams in the top 15 from the ECAC.
Yeah, it's been great. Honestly, just coming in freshman year, I knew the ECAC was a competitive league, but to see kind of how far it's evolved to now and how, you know, every game is going to be a great competitive one has been awesome to be a part of.
And also within striking distance of the top spot, the all-important pairwise your Colgate team in the number three position, power rating at 39. Yale and Ohio State are just ahead at 40. So there's certainly a lot of potential here as you look ahead to the second half. You mentioned about the Colgate program. Just to give us a little bit of perspective on your journey to Colgate, you came all the way across the continent, growing up in Edmonton and playing in the Pursuit of Excellence program. What about the decision to come to Colgate and how that all transpired?
So I moved to POE in grade 11. I thought that kind of gave me the best opportunity to get recruited to the NCAA, which I kind of dreamed of when I was younger. And from there, I kind of was looking at different schools. And when I was touring different schools, I really didn't know what I wanted out of college, which is kind of a weird thing. But when I got to Colgate, it just felt like the right place for me and the right environment where I wanted to spend 4 years. So the choice, it was difficult for me kind of to make a decision, but I knew Colgate felt the most right when looking at different places, which was a really cool feeling.
And they're really quite, I would think, somewhat of a culture shock to come all the way across the continent. You've got a family, we'll talk about that in a moment, but a family that's pretty deep into the sport of ice hockey to be in a situation where, well, I'm sure they don't get to see you play live that often coming all the way across to Hamilton, New York.
Yeah, well, my dad's a big hockey guy, and my mom loves watching hockey, so my dad makes it out as much as he can, like whether we're playing at Ohio or Clarkson and SLU, where they can just drive across the border. He sure seems to make it work to watch me, so it's been awesome.
The program that you played with, the Pursuit of Excellence, I believe they're out of British Columbia. Just to give us some insight about that program, I wasn't as familiar with it. I had heard mention of it, I guess, in over the last maybe year or two. But what was that like in terms of the preparedness to get you ready to play in the Division I college ranks in the States?
Yeah, it was great. We had a really good team down there, so we were able to push each other day in, day out, whether that was through practice, like skill sessions or lifts. And we also got a ton of exposure there. We played a lot of tournaments out east in the U.S. and in Canada, and we had a great coach. So it was definitely helped prepared me a lot. So that was great to have.
You had a pretty big impact in the beginning, your freshman year from an offensive standpoint, but really just a breakout year last year. You set the program record for assists with 38 last season. What about the rigors of getting ready and being prepared? Your dad, obviously, very well steeped in the preparedness, having worked for about a decade with the Edmonton Oilers and now working privately with his own operation in the area of power skating. I'm sure that's been a huge plus for you in your development all the way back to when you first got started.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely it has had a huge impact on my hockey career. I mean, every summer, he's who I train with alongside like my brother and also my best friend who plays at Clarkson. So it's great that we're able to push each other and make each other better every summer.
Yeah, the Sodakny Hockey went on and looked about that and power skating and development. Quite an operation with a big presence out there in Western Canada with a platform. You've got a lot of media to accompany it with the podcast and so forth. That seems to be, you know, the family business is hockey for you, Danielle. Not surprised that you've landed where you have.
Yeah, definitely a big part of all my and my siblings' life. So it's awesome to be around.
And your brother, you mentioned about in the family, your brother of note, now playing in Colorado Springs. He is pursuing his career at Colorado College in the NCHC.
Yeah, he is. He's doing really good. So I'm really happy for him. He's a freshman, so hoping he can continue to grow and evolve his game over the next 4 years there.
And always like to give an opportunity, particularly with a center, to give a little love to the line mates there. And just to give us some of the perspective as far as being able to play and thrive with your line mates, I believe you've been playing with Casey Bettinol, who's also a Western Canadian from Alberta, and out of Hamilton, Ontario, Jenna Duarte.
So that was our game yesterday. We had someone out, but it's been great getting to the opportunity to play with Cass and both Jenna yesterday. I've also played with Caitlin O'Donohoe and Derek Gregg, which I love playing with all of them. We make each other better, and it's been great watching them evolve as players and then also evolve as a line.
And with the team out of the gate very strong this season, high expectations based on what this program has done year in and year out. Seems that Coach Fargo has placed Colgate on a very high level in a very competitive situation in the ECAC. I'm sure that was something that appealed to you to make the decision to come to Colgate, knowing that you're going to get a chance to play for some trophies and get a chance to maybe play for the biggest trophy of all when you look at the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, coming into college, that's kind of one of my deciding factors. I wanted to go to a program that's never won a national championship before. So I'm just seeing the potential of our group and, I mean, what we've accomplished in the past. I'm excited to see what we can do this year. I think we have a good shot. So looking forward to that and, I guess, the challenges that come with it.
No doubt. And those challenges that'll be ahead for you here. And your dad's background, mentioned in the NHL in Edmonton, are you a big, I'm just going to assume, you're going to probably say, no, I'm not. I'll assume that you're probably, as far as an NHL team, do you follow the Oilers pretty closely?
Oh, yeah. We're all big Edmonton fans, so yep. And there's not a whole lot in Edmonton, so definitely someone we cheer for.
If you're not an Oilers fan, you're probably not going to fit in too well around the neighborhood. So, yeah, exactly. And anybody in particular at the pro level in the NHL or any of the prominent women in the Canadian program that you've taken on, maybe it's a little bit more of a role model, you take maybe a little bit closer look at in terms of your game and being able to adapt your game?
Yeah, obviously just watching the Oilers, Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are pretty unbelievable to watch day in and day out. Yeah. So, obviously, being a huge Oilers fan, I like to tune in and kind of obviously pay close attention to them as they're both very successful and great players. And kind of from the woman's side, Poulin is pretty unbelievable. Mm. Getting the opportunity to watch her practice and play was great. She's such a great player, but on top of that, such a great teammate and leader for that Canadian national team.
Oh, indeed the case. And I'll tell you, you know, just a little bit of background about me, if you don't mind, Danielle. I broadcast the games long time for Boston University, and Marie was just inducted into the Boston University Hall of Fame. So I just actually saw her and had a chance to congratulate her about a month ago. And she had just her acceptance speech, just so gracious, classy, poised. She's every bit off the ice and as a person as she is dominant on the ice. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. You got a great role model there.
Yeah, for sure.
No question. And looking ahead, again, the challenges in this league each weekend as you and your Raider teammates, you head to the home stretch. Big weekend to come. You're going to have a chance to go head-to-head and toe-to-toe with Quinnipiac coming up to open the weekend on Saturday. You'll be at Class of 65 Arena. That's a great facility. I was up there the year after it opened up in Hamilton. And follow that up with Princeton, who's just outside of the top 15. I mean, you know, welcome to the ECAC. A weekend like that, you really couldn't have a competition that couldn't be tougher than what you face this weekend. It just seems like it's that way week in and week out.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a weekend we've had circled for a long time. Obviously, QPAC is ranked pretty high, and they are obviously a really good team. Alongside Princeton, they're both going to be tough opponents, and I know our group's ready for it, and we're also really looking forward to it. So,
and right now, as you mentioned, all the non-conference play has been completed. So it really is a run to the seeding in the ECAC tournament and beyond. Here to the postseason, you got a chance to really establish your position beginning with this weekend and 6 points on the line.
Yeah, it's a huge 6 points for us. Obviously, our goal is to win that regular season title, which we haven't been able to do the past last year. So that's something that's really on our plate and on our minds and something we want to accomplish coming up. So it starts this weekend. And yeah, those are a huge 6 points for us.
No doubt. As far as getting started this weekend with the test, Quinnipiac and Princeton to come. Danielle, thanks very much. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us as you get ready for the weekend and ready for the stretch run of the season. We'll certainly be keeping a close look at you and your team here from inside ECAC hockey. All the best.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Daniel Sadakny, center, Colgate Raiders, our guest, our women's profile this week on Inside ECAC Hockey, presented by the Courtship Family Foundation in conjunction with the Mike Capasso Scholarship Fund.